Welcome back to the Jeff Horst Show on FM Talk 106.5. Thank you very, very much for staying with us on this Friday. What's left of this Friday morning? Then it'll be the weekend that everybody's looking forward to. Coming up Monday on the program, Dale Jackson for, I don't know why, but he'll be with us. We do that every Monday. And some guests to be named later. Working on that as soon as this wraps up here on the Jeff Horst Show. But joining us now, it is that time of the week, as we do every Friday around this time. Very pleased to bring on our returning champion, State Senator Chris Elliott. Senator, good morning. How are you?
Man, I'm doing great. Ready for this rain to stop. It was nice to have it, but I'm done with it now.
Well, it's a monsoon here. I don't know what this is like down your way, but I need a boat, I think, to get out of my neighborhood.
Well, you're a South Alabama guy now. You got to get a boat.
That's true. That's true. I know nothing about boats, but I should, I suppose. But not quite there yet. Maybe it's like a rite of passage thing. But let's kick it off here. So I always assumed this, Senator. 2019 abortion ban, there was no intention of it standing, that if it were successful, if it got to the court and it got Roe v. Wade overturned, which looks to be what is going to happen ultimately sometime this year, the legislature would go back. They would at least consider something that would add some exceptions, rape, incest, health, life of the mother, or whatever it may be, and not be the one-size-fits-all ban. But I'm told I am mistaken about that. What say you?
Well, I think that the Alabama legislature has taken a very courageous and absolute view on when life begins. And we have said that that is at conception, regardless of how that conception occurs. And that is controversial, and that is something that the incrementalists in the world like to look at and say, well, hold on. But if this was the circumstance, then that should be different. And I don't agree with that, and I think the Alabama legislature has taken a very, again, courageous stand on this issue with one of the most definitive anti-abortion laws in the state, or excuse me, in the United States, rather. And I think it's something that we need to go back and look at to tweak, only to make sure that it applies to what it seems is going to be the ruling. But I don't think we need to tweak it so that we back up on what life is and when life begins.
That's the million-dollar question, right, Senator? When does life begin? Is it, I've been using the sign all morning, is it conception? Is it a heartbeat? Is it the, birth? Is it your 21st birthday? I mean, until society answers that question, and like you said, we decided in Alabama, but federally, until it's decided, I don't know that we ever will, then this is always going to be a lingering issue.
Well, I do think that the federal government, the Supreme Court, if this ruling, it holds and is official and is actually made, when that happens, then the ruling is allowing the states to make that determination in their state. And in Alabama, we've already made that determination. So to the extent that the law needs to be tweaked, so that it fits nicely with what the Supreme Court's ruling is, then I'm all game for that. But I'm not thinking in any state form or fashion we need to go back in and redefine when life begins. We've already done that in Alabama, and I'm very proud of that.
Well, then it becomes a question of, should we offer exceptions in this state? And that becomes a little less clear.
I understand that, and again, I think that's something that was debated in the Alabama legislature, and I think that debate has been settled.
My understanding was this, Senator, that was not meant to be the ultimate rendering, that it was only meant to trigger the federal lawsuit, and that they would go back and visit it, but you say otherwise.
I do. I think the debate over, the issues of, and again, the very touchy, very difficult issues of rape and incest were debated on the floor of both chambers. Those matters were taken up by the legislature. The law in Alabama says life begins at conception, and we it does not allow for exceptions to that. And I don't think there's any appetite necessarily for changing that. There certainly isn't with me.
Well, it's the life of the mother's the lone exception, correct?
Yes, that's correct. Yes.
So there's that, but I mean, the interpretation of that. But I would say this. I think that's going to be one of the key debates next year or later this year. Should there be should the governor call a special session? But it doesn't sound like to me there's any appetite, at least amongst some of you in the legislature, to even tinker with the 2019. That that's the law of the land. That's where we need to be.
I think that's where we need to be. The only reason I would see a need to change the existing law in the state is if there was some legal reason that would require us to make a change in order to necessitate it fitting in with whatever eventual Supreme Court ruling came out.
But as far as that, I don't know. I'm not a lawyer. I'm married to one. But radio brethren, Phil Williams, explains it, that the way this would go down, Steve Marshall would go to the middle district there, to court, Myron Thompson, and say he would file for a motion to dismiss, and that would be the end of it, that the 2019 ban becomes effective immediately.
Well, I'd feel more comfortable hearing that from Attorney General Marshall than Phil Williams.
fair enough, but that's one perspective on it, I suppose, that's how that could play out, presumably. I don't know, like I said. I'm just kind of asking around, and it's remarkable. I, with the exception of Representative Collins, a lot of you guys, a lot of your colleagues, are just no. We're done with that. That law is the law, and we're not really interested in looking at something else right now.
Well, and I certainly would be in that camp. I mean, I think this is something that's been debated in the Alabama legislature. It was a tough vote for a lot of folks. It needed to happen. You know, a lot of Republicans, a lot of conservatives run on issues like this. And then, you know, you get in the legislature and it's, oh, but this exception, or it's, oh, but this, or oh, but that. You know, this is an opportunity for Republicans and conservatives that say they're pro-life to stand up and be pro-life. And we were. We've done that. And now we've got a Supreme Court, thanks to President Trump, that is making decisions that are you know, in line with our beliefs, and I think we need to stick with them. I'm not in favor of revisiting it unless, again, there's some reason that we need to change, you know, something that puts it in line with the Supreme Court ruling that, again, has not been made yet. But other than that, I like the provisions of the law as they are.
Joined by State Senator Chris Elliott here on the program. Senator, let's talk election politics. I'm not going to ask you to go into any endorsements or anything like that, but do you feel pretty good about this cycle? I know you're unopposed, so it's probably a lot easier for you, but you look around the landscape, you look at some of the potential challengers of your colleagues, some of the vacancies that got to be filled in the upper chamber, some of the vacancies got to be filled here in Baldwin County. What's your assessment? Are we in a good place?
Well, I'm glad you asked that question. A lot of my colleagues would probably steer away from this, but you know, I'm not like that. I feel good, obviously, like you said, about my race of being unopposed. That's a really nice way to run. I've never done that before, so I'm pretty pleased with that. But I heard that you had Jennifer Fidler on earlier, and I got to listen to just a piece of that interview. I didn't get to listen to the whole thing, but you know, what a breath of fresh air. Somebody who knows what they're doing, somebody who is energetic and ready to go, somebody who's got the background, not just in public service when it comes to working for the city of Fairhope, but knowing the area like she does. I mean, going back generations, knowing every street name, the people that are here and how long they've been here, the education background that she's got, with a master's degree in education. I mean, she knows her stuff, and she's energetic and active and ready to go. And that's really what excites me, with some retirements that we've had in Baldwin County and with Jennifer's candidacy and others, that they are really out there and ready to go. And they're conservative. They are conservative. You know, to hear Jennifer talk about, you know, CRT and how concerning that is to her and how that's divisive, and contrasting that maybe with her opponent's vote on the issue. I mean, it's just, it really, it's a breath of fresh air, and I'm excited about those types of races.
So is that an endorsement, or what can I describe that as?
I would just say I'd encourage the folks in that particular House district to look closely at the candidates, and especially for folks that have been around the legislature for a very, very long, long, long time. You know, look at the record. Look at what they've done. Look at what maybe they haven't done. You know, when you're running against an incumbent, and somebody will run against me one day, there's no question about it. They've done it before. But you've got a record. You've got something to stand on. You've got bills you sponsored. You've got issues you pushed. And if you haven't done anything, if you haven't filed a bill in a couple of years, if you haven't really done anything, that's pretty telling too. And I think that's something that that voters need to look at when they're casting their vote.
Joined by State Senator Chris Elliott, our returning champion here on the program. Senator, I'd be remiss without mentioning this. Alabama Policy Institute just released its most conservative legislator list, our scorecard or whatever it is, and you landed fifth out of all 35 of you. You're in rarefied air, it looks like, as being the fifth most conservative member of the Alabama Senate. What's your reaction to that?
Well, that's very nice. I haven't really dived into the methodology of what they've done. I did see that the other night, and that's always nice. You know, look, everybody in Alabama says they're conservative in our conversation about, you know, abortion just earlier on really kind of exemplifies that. You know, at the end of the day, you know, there are gradations of conservatism, and I'm pleased that API, who's certainly a watchdog in that area of the world, has seen fit to put me in that spot. So I'll take the win.
well said. Let's move on to some other things. You know, beyond the 94 House district race, the rest of this. Let's talk top of the ballot. It's compelling television. I don't know where the Senate race is. I feel pretty certain Governor Ivey's going to win re-election, but does that bode well for where we're at in South Alabama here?
Yeah, that's a good question. I know Governor Ivey, the good, bad, and the ugly. We've had our agreements. We've certainly had our very public disagreements. You know, I've known Tim James for a long time too. You know, both of them would be good candidates. You know, I do think that from a polling standpoint that the governor's likely to be successful in this, given what the data I've seen. I will say this, I think Katie Britt is in a strong position to really be a force for Alabama for a very, very long time. And I think that anybody who understands politics, especially how the United States Senate works, has got to realize the advantage of her age. She knows how this works. She understands how to get things done. Alabama has benefited immeasurably from Richard Shelby and how he has worked and for how long he has worked to benefit the state of Alabama. And Katie Britt is just so well poised to continue to do that. And I got to say this, the Durant guy, I've met him once. I don't know where he's from. I don't know what he's about, except for his book and his service, which I think a lot of. I just don't get it. I don't understand the appeal of somebody who's not from here, doesn't have a record of anything, and all of a sudden wants to be elected to, gosh, one of the highest offices in the state, you know, or most important offices statewide. I just don't understand it.
Well, and I think, you know, you may know this better than I. I think she's going to do well in Baldwin County. Mo will have his voters. I don't know. I don't get a sense of the Durant support at all, but except for the polls. But I think in Mobile, Baldwin County, she's going to be pretty stout down this way.
Well, I think so, too. And to the Mobile supporters, look, I like Mo. I've known Mo for a really long time. He's been around Washington for a really long time. And he's a good conservative. He may not be the most effective legislator, but he's a proven conservative. There's no advantage of us about that. But I think at some time it's going to be incumbent upon Mo Brooks supporters, and again, if this is us looking at the polls, to realize that that's probably, you know, he's probably going to finish third, and those MoBurk supporters are going to have to make a choice. And where those MoBurk supporters go is going to be very important as far as who our next United States Senator is. So I would encourage them to look at somebody who's that is proven and conservative as well, like Katie Britt, as opposed to somebody who really just kind of showed up on the scene and we hadn't even really done the scratch and sniff yet to figure out who this guy is. We're only seeing what they're putting out on TV and in mailers. And, you know, the guy will debate. I get nervous about people like that. They may seem great, but you don't know really what you're getting.
I've never seen anything like it, and we'll get you out of here. But just not having, I don't know where his ground game is, if he's got a volunteer network, door knocking, phone banking, all the stuff you see traditionally in these statewide campaigns. I just don't know if that infrastructure exists or not. I guess we'll see.
It scares me. It really does. It scares me that we may end up with a position in the United States Senate, again, is one of the most important in the country and very important for a state. And for somebody to just show up off the hatch and say, here I am, and vote for me without anybody really knowing anything about you is a really, really scary proposition. And you think about what we know about Katie Britt, how long she's been around. She's from Rutgers, went to school here. You know, she kids here. She doesn't have a, you know, $20 million, you know, home out in Colorado. She's an Alabama. And not from New Hampshire, not from Colorado, not from somewhere else. I like knowing who I'm voting for. And I hope people think that when they look at me as well.
Sarah, we got to get out of here up against the break, but thanks for making time for us. We'll talk again soon.
Thanks so much for having me on, Jeff. Y'all have a great weekend.
There you have it. That's our returning champion there, State Senator Chris Elliott. Let's get a break in here. This is the Jeff Moore Show on FM Talk 106.5.